Good morning, everyone. Glad you're able to come on such a cold morning. It's cool, isn't it? But it'll warm up, and absolutely. I'd like to welcome Murdoch Noyes. Actually, welcome him back. He has been here before, but this morning he's going to lead our worship, and we're really grateful for that. And welcome too to Pastor Neil Story, who's here as an assessor this morning. And welcome everyone. And welcome back to Bali. She's been over in the Solomons. Good to have you back. The notices are set out in your notice sheet. Just like to mention a few things. On Wednesday, Jeff will conduct the service down at PM Village, commencing at 10:30. And on Thursday night, at 7 o'clock, Church Council will meet here. Please take time to read the rest of the notices. There's some items on the back of your notice sheet that you might be interested in. And also there's an insert there that Louis has asked to go into the notices. Now, if you use offering envelopes, you will probably notice that after today you've only got about one envelope left. But I can assure you that the new sets of envelopes have now arrived. If you haven't got one already, you're welcome to take one. Anyway, we're here to worship God, and Murdoch is going to lead us. Thank you, Murdoch.
Good morning, and welcome, friends. Thank you all for being here today. I ask you to join me in the call to worship and to respond to text in bold italics on the screen. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. We come this day seeking the way of Christ. Come and worship in spirit and in truth, that God's loving life might be your guide. And if we sing the hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, you are great and glorious, wonderful in strength, invincible. Let all your creatures serve you, for you spoke and they were made. You sent forth your Spirit and it formed them. There is none that can resist your voice, for the mountains shall be shaken to their foundations with the waters. Before your glance, the rocks shall melt like wax. But there is mercy for all who love you, for every sacrifice as a fragrant offering is a small thing, and the fat of all whole burnt offerings to you is a very little thing. But whoever loves the Lord is great forever. We join in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, you plant each of us like seeds in the same field, and together we are nourished by the sun. We sway in the wind and are refreshed by the rain. We are blessed by the knowledge that you want us to grow towards what you call us to be. But where we deprive others of that same opportunity, when we want to uproot those whom we believe do not belong in our part of the field, when we label others as good or bad rather than accept them for who they are, when we are afraid to look into the fields of our own lives to see what is growing there. O God, you know us inside and out, through and through. You know what we are going to say, even before we speak. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Hear then Christ's words of grace to us. Our sins are forgiven. Now, do we have any young gardeners or budding farmers here today? Ted? Oh, Bill, sorry. Bill, would you like to come forward? I'm looking for someone to give me a hand.
Please,
send
right
forward.
How's the
yard
yesterday?
Yes.
What were you up to?
I was pressure cleaning my driveway. And my swimming pool.
Hello.
And I ran back. And I looked like I had chicken pox by the time I finished.
Really
sparkling. Oh, beautiful this morning. I went to the water. That's what I did.
So you probably don't need someone like me to come around to spread soil all over the
world.
It's not hard to see why the master in the field suggested to his staff not to go out and clear the weeds from his field. Now I looked for some wheat and I looked for some tares for darnels. I didn't have much luck finding any wheat that wasn't milled or baked for a loaf. And in terms of tares and darnels, well, I had to look in the dictionary and I said I didn't see any of funny. So I was throwing a crop of garlic and harvested some grass and put them together in this terracotta field. And I'm wondering, Helen, and the big idea is not to spread soil all over the lovely tablecloth that Margaret so kindly provided for us, but just how would we go about freeing a field of wheat from the tares and darnels that have been sown around it?
Well, in the Bible, we see that they let the crop all grow up and then pull the weeds out.
Indeed.
And burn them.
That's right. I didn't realize until this week that somebody told me that a wheat crop is allowed to fully germinate and then die and harvest it at the end. I'd always just see pictures of combine harvesters going through and all the lovely, the plants are already dead and well decomposed. You're quite right. But I wonder, would you like to try and free our field of grass and leave the garlic? Well, there might be some more in there, I don't know.
That looks like
Join together and sing the hymn On Eagle's Wings.
Examine me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away you understand all my thoughts. You see me whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions, even before I speak. You already know that what I will say. You are around me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge is to me deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And then he goes, examine me, O Lord, O God, and I know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. And now we go to Romans 8:12-25. So then, my brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit's power we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirit to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share God's suffering, we will also share his glory. And then we go to Matthew, and we read Matthew 13, and we read 24-30. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the heads of the grain began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servants came to him and said, Sir, it was good seed you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from? It was some enemy who did this, he answered. Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds? And they asked him, No, he answered. Because as you gather the wheat, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds. First, tie them into bundles. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first. Tie them into bundles and burn them, and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn. So we go to 36. Jesus explains the parable of the weeds. When Jesus left the crowd and gone indoors, his disciples came to him and said, Tell us what the parable about the weeds in the field means. Jesus answered, The man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the people who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. And the enemy who sows the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvest workers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so the same things will happen at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels to gather up of his kingdom all those who cause people to sin and all the others who do evil things. And they will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where they will cry and gnash their teeth. Then God's people will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen then if you have ears. This is the Lord's word of God. I think we were going to say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's a new one.
In the Genesis portion of our lectionary this week, which we didn't read today, you may have read already this week, or perhaps when you go home this afternoon, Jacob heads out from Beersheba and goes towards Haran. When he lays down to sleep in the wilderness, having set a stone beside his head, he dreams of a ladder reaching up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending. Verses 13 and 14 read, "And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Jacob then awakens, rejoicing that the Lord has promised to abide with him. "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." And yet he was afraid. He said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He goes on to erect a pillar with the stone that was beside his head. And having anointed the stone with oil, he calls the place Bethel, which is literally the house of God. Now Jacob was at a fairly anxious point in his life when all of this took place. He was the second son of Isaac and Rebekah, and born after his twin brother Esau. A great hunter, Esau had found favor with his father through the yield of his bow, while Jacob had always been preferred by Rebekah. Rebekah and Jacob feared that Isaac would bless Esau as his successor, being the elder, and sought to deceive Isaac by killing a prize animal from their herd, dressing Jacob in its skins, and offering the savory meat to the blind Isaac. Jacob received this blessing from his father, but also understandably much rage from his older brother. He is sent away to avoid conflict between he and Esau, and how relieved he must have been when the Lord appeared to him that lonely night and promised him deliverance. In the wisdom of the psalmist, so often has a keen eye for the human condition, and there is a faint echo of Jacob's revelation in our psalm this week. "You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." And Jacob later went on to dig the famous well at the deep spring in Sychar. And it was here centuries later that Jesus sat and conversed with the woman of Samaria. As with so many, Jacob's actions are neither noble or virtuous, and yet the fruit of his life's journey is difficult to predict. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field," Jesus tells us. "But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." You can imagine the scene that day. Jesus seated in the boat on the Lake of Galilee, addressing the apostles and the multitude gathered on the shore. And continuing a theme that he had begun with the parable of the sower that we heard last week, Jesus again employs an agricultural analogy with a group of people for whom adequate rainfall, good weather, and soil fertility were the very key to their existence. Farmers in the group would all be too familiar with the back-breaking toil of first century weed control and would have tended their fields with due diligence. So too the servants of the sower in this parable are keen to eliminate the weeds from our wheat field, and yet their master restrains them, lest the wheat crop also be uprooted. He prefers to wait until the wheat is ready for harvest and then remove the tares first. Could it be that Jesus is encouraging the multitude to live happily alongside people of other cultures and faiths without feeling the need to challenge or denounce them? And when the apostles later ask their teacher to explain the meaning of the parable, Jesus tells them that he is the sower of the seed, the field is the world, and that the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So it seems in the fullness of time that the various occupants of the field will be sorted, and we need not concern ourselves with sorting in the present. Let us pretend our field with hope and care, and nourish that bountiful soil with our love and understanding. Later, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, encourages the congregation there to live as sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. They are joint heirs with Christ, he tells them, living in the spirit of adoption, crying out to God, Abba, Father. He considers the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The whole creation labours with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption. I imagine if Jesus had used this type of language in his discourses to the multitude, they may well have stood scratching their heads. What does it mean to us to be sons and daughters of God? When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven was heard to say, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was then led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he endured 40 days and nights of fasting and then temptation. But these he endured, and was then ministered to by the angels and began his public ministry. And during that ministry, he experienced both great exaltation and great scorn, and finally crucified by the secular and religious authorities of the day. Even a Roman centurion is able to identify him as the Son of God. He dies, is buried, and is raised on the third day, walks with us a while, and finally ascends to the right hand of the Father. Likewise we, the body of Christ, are called and led by the Spirit to partake of the field with all of its wheat and weeds, building the kingdom from within the tangible and spiritual realm within which we dwell. Let us not judge another as unfit to participate in this great mission. A weed may well shield the tender shoot of a young plant, a more worthy plant, from the howling winds until that young plant is ready to withstand the gale by itself. And when the heavy rains come, any type of vegetation will help to stop the precious topsoil from washing away. We all have a role to play in the coming of the kingdom. But where can I go from your Spirit, Lord? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us join together in a prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all of your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We thank you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love. In the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all of our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us sing the 23rd Psalm.
Thank you.
Will we take up the offering?
Let us come before God to please others and ourselves. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you remembering that you are everywhere. And as we've just heard through the scriptures, we are reminded that you know us inside and out. So you know our thoughts and our hearts. And with those thoughts, Lord, we come to you, also remembering that you have asked and said, whatever we pray in your name, you will receive. So we bring our thoughts and our prayers for others and ourselves. We cast our minds far away, to places far away. We think of countries in strife. We think of the people there, innocent folk who suffer day after day, week after week, month after month. Not because they've done anything wrong, but just that's where they live. We ask that your power, your spirit might move within the leaders there, move within those who govern and who are in a position to be able to make a difference. We pray for the workers, many various different international aid organisations who station themselves in those countries. We thank you especially for the individuals, the ordinary people who are there in the name of these organisations, doing their utmost to make things happen and allow assistance of food and medications to reach to the very places where they're meant to get. So often there's obstruction preventing these good works to arrive at the people who need them, so we ask for intervention there. We think of our own country, we think of our governments, we pray for wisdom for our leaders, we pray for our country, our land, our environment, for the conflict between survival and jobs for others. We pray that the leaders of our nations might find an appropriate path. And we come close to home, to those in our local community, those who are lonely, and there's many of those behind closed doors who are lonely. When we are aware of these folk, prompt us to help in some way if we can. Be mindful of those who are disabled, for whom everyday life is a struggle. Even think of those young people, sometimes quite young people, who are caring for disabled parents. Before they get to school each day, they need to have helped some very disabled person out of bed, helped them with a shower, all those many things, day after day. We pray that social services might be able to assist more effectively. We pray for our own church family. We think particularly of Don, who has recently lost his brother. We pray for all the Wisson family, and we pray that you will especially give Don peace and comfort, and remembering good times and the value of family. We think of those of our number not present. We ask that you will bless them. We think of Corrie and Bill and others. And now, Lord, in the quiet, we just each pray for those close to us. We give our individual prayers. And Lord, we pray for ourselves as a congregation. Yes, we are small in number, but we know that you are with us. We ask that you will give us courage and insight and vision as we continue to walk your path. We pray for Jeff, our chairman of church council, who is also seems to be the everything man as well at times, the fixer of the sign, the tidy up of the garden, mending of the fence. And we thank you for others in our congregation who assist with maintenance. As in our readings and our sermon today, we all have our different roles to play. Help us to be tolerant of others who may not do things quite as we want them, but together we work and walk forward in your name. We thank you for Murdoch and his preaching today and the message that he has left with us. We pray for Louis and his continued ministry here at Bald Hills. And so we commit these prayers to you, Lord, and we remember the prayer you taught us all to say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. If we sing the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
we all join together in the commissioning. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of God, the body of Christ. Go in peace, love and care for one another in the name of Christ, and may all the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and abide with you, both now and forevermore.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.